Andrew Richardson speaking, and this is my second lecture on the human givens approach and teaching you, I hope, something useful for your understanding of your mental and emotional health and how to be healthier and stronger. And this is your beginner's guide to your emotions, the fuel that drives you mad or keeps you sane. I want you to begin by imagining a beautiful sponge cake, the kind your granny used to make, even if only in your dreams. It goes without saying that the sponge is delicious, soft and moist, a perfect texture, and so tasty. But now think about the filling between the two halves of sponge. We can imagine what we are looking for. Maybe it's jam or cream-based, or a delicious combination of the two. Now, what you will agree, I hope, is that this imaginary magical cake has a good filling, because that is essential. For this filling, the texture and taste has to be just right, as well as the thickness and the consistency. Imagine if the filling was too thin or stiff, not moist enough, or if it was the opposite, if it were too thick, such that it overwhelmed the cake itself, or too runny, so it soaks through the cake, ruining the flavours and consistency. Well, emotions are like the filling of a cake, and just like a good cake filling, emotions are this essential ingredient of a well-adjusted, successful life. But if they are too stiff and hidden or too runny, then they can do real damage. Your emotions have to be just right. And in my first audio lecture, I talked about the importance of being active and taking control to be living our life such that our essential emotional needs are being met. Well, it is our emotions that are the big drivers of action. And if you can get your emotional responses working well, serving you and not your master, then you are truly cooking with gas, as they say. Think about it. When you were last really scared or excited, when was it that you were last overwhelmed? The emotion was the filler between what was going on outside and then what you did about it. Yes, emotions are the key. They are communicating to you and priming you for the action you should take. Have you learnt the language of your emotions? Noticing them and being curious, being able to understand what they are saying and why that might be. Now, some emotions may be hidden and powerful. Some may be so quiet that they can barely be visible. But however they are, don't confuse your emotions with your beliefs, your values and your judgments, because your emotions are different. It is your emotions that are the filling that makes your beliefs and values real and meaningful. Yes, emotions are key. As the prime driver of action. And if we can listen, your most important communicator and educator. You can see your emotions as duals and opposites, if you like, such as moving away from or moving towards. Moving away from fear and anger all the way to pleasure and desire, and then back again to repulsion and disgust, or comfortable and satisfied all the way to uncomfortable, dissatisfied, joy, excitement, all the way to fear and dread. You're getting the idea? Now, here are two images that I hope will make sense to you. The first is an image of an iceberg. And we know that the part of the iceberg that we can see above the water is only a small proportion of the total size of the iceberg. We know that the great bulk of the iceberg lies below sea level. And so it is with your emotions, which arise from your unconscious, which lies deep and hidden in the emotion. The iceberg represents the obvious truth that so much of what happens to us does so unconsciously beneath the radar, that we are not really aware of it. We breathe, we speak, we digest and do so unconsciously. And it is our unconscious that we find the emotional responses that lead to the action, that lead to the life we lead. That's right. Deep in our unconscious is where the jigsaw pieces fit together, or they don't. And here is a second image. It's an enormous beehive. And from the outside, all may seem still and quiet. But we know that containing within the beehive is a mass of activity. This is our unconscious is working, always busy, making sense, drawing connections, processing and signaling with subtle and not so subtle emotions and feelings. So just consider the stories you tell yourself for a moment. The point is that everything that happens to us, all of the sense data and experiences that we have to deal with, will not just be a random series of data points that we can make no sense of. Instead, what we will do is go on a search in the memories and connections of our unconscious within this great mass of iceberg that lies below the surface to find a fit that makes sense to us. And we do that metaphorically by asking ourselves, what is happening now that is like what happened before? And then tagging an emotion to it. And that's how it works. By connecting us from the present to the past, so we can make sense of now. And then we tag that sense as an emotion. This work automatically. And we are barely aware of it as we go about our daily life amongst the familiar and the normal. But if our daily life is strain and stress and worry, then the day-to-day patterning and storytelling will be conscious to us. And we will certainly be conscious if something happens that appears new. For then what will we be required of us will appear to be a deliberate response. Now finally, I want to say a few words about our flight or fight response. And this is the primitive brain and called the limbic system. And it's where emotional responses are crude, automatic and overwhelming. What we do is downshift when responding to life-threatening conditions. Then action takes place without thinking and learning is impossible. Language is limited to yells and screams and expletives. And a part of the limbic system, the hippocampus, holds long-term memory. And key here is that if past powerful and distressing memories have not been well processed, then they can flare up again and again, fueled by the associations in the present, which remind of the past, however misguided that is. So for a well-working brain that has to be in good balance between what we are consciously aware of and then the mass of unconscious processing and storytelling with the flight or fight response quiescent and calm, this means that action to get needs met is easy, neither overwhelmed by a flaring up of a crude flight or fight, nor an inability to make sense of what is happening now. And this is achieved in a healthy brain by accessing useful memories and emotions from the past that give context and meaning to what is happening now. In other words, a good story, and what therefore needs to be done. And for a normally stressed brain, the main change compared with the working well brain is that the sensitivity to a flaring up of flight or fight is more powerful. It is keeping arousal levels high and sensitive to certain stimuli in the environment, and this is significantly eroding the capacity to live a life where needs are well met. This in turn can easily transform into a self-feeding vicious cycle which keeps people stuck and helpless and which thereby manifests in a wide range of depressive anxious or addictive behaviours. And what I am calling normally stressed is the subject matter of the bulk of my website and the breakthrough audio programs I've created. And it's about how to get your emotions working well for you. Thank you. And enjoy listening to this audio.